best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title, it's as simple as that.
Oh, can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench
on Cork
Red FM.
Hello, how are you? It is Melanie Brown with you on the Big Red Bench. Plenty of sporting action this weekend, as always, but as I was putting the show together today, I realised this day 15 years ago, Mealing GAA won the Junior All-Ireland in Croke Park, beating John Locks of Kilkenny 12-5. Only 7 Cork clubs have ever won it, with Kilbritton most recently winning it, with Philip Wall getting the honour of captaining his team to glory. But can you name the other 5 sides that have done so? Get your texts in to 0868104106. And while you're racking your brain thinking of that, we'll turn our attention to Intercounty. And I was chatting to Ger McCarthy with all the latest in the 2 big wins for Cork football on the road today. Welcome to the Big Red Bench. And it was a successful day on the road for the Rebels, picking up 2 wins from 2. John Cleary's side getting the better over Offaly, while the ladies remain unbeaten in the Little National Football League. Now, to talk about both games, we have our very own Ger McCarthy to join us. Ger, how are you getting on?
I'm getting on great. A good weekend for the Rebels all round, Melanie.
Can't complain. We'll kick things off with the ladies. Final score up in Armagh, 2-8-1-9. What do you think of the game?
Well, first of all, just a fantastic result, because this game was postponed from the previous weekend, and it was on in Cross McLean in the Oliver Plunkett Park pitch just today. Pitch didn't look great, no, Melanie, to be quite honest with you, from viewing it, and so I think that slowed down Cork quite a bit, and also probably led to such a low scoreline. But look, to go up to Armagh and come away with a 2-8-1-9 victory is a fantastic result for Cork, and they've had a great start to the National League this year. They had a lot of change in the management team, Joe Carroll's management team, before the start of the season. They've had a lot of players gone from the panel for various reasons, but heading in to next weekend to be 7 points out of a possible 9 is a fantastic return, a great early start for Joe and his players. But today, I suppose, was all about the goals and when Cork got them. I think it was a difficult game. Conditions as well were very, very difficult, very windy day as well. And in the second half, I just think the fact that Cork got the goals when they did, Rachel O'Regan scoring after 48 minutes, a fantastic goal, set up by Aoife Healy, and then Rachel Lee adding an even better goal again. And look, that was the cushion I think that Cork got and needed to get over the line in the end. It finished 2-8-1-9, and look, Armagh were missing quite a few, but it doesn't matter, because at this stage of the league, what you're trying to do is build confidence, build momentum, and for Joe Carroll, for the team that he had out to go up to Armagh, especially after the upheaval of last weekend and the game not going ahead, to come away from Armagh with a victory and have, you know, 2 wins and a draw out of his first 3 games, back up in Division 1 after so long, and to be, you know, just 2 points behind the pace setters Waterford, it's a fantastic start, and today was added to it.
Definitely. And you mentioned Joe has a new backroom team, but obviously LGFA itself is seeing new rules in the game. I know you spoke with Emma Cleary, but how do you think Cork are kind of settling into the new rules?
I think the new rules have arrived at the best possible time for Cork, but I need to be quite honest, and I say that tongue in cheek. We've last year, the All-Ireland semi-finalists, all 4 of them, including Kerry, the eventual winners, physically are the strongest and biggest and tallest teams at the senior grade. And at that level, it makes a huge difference at senior level. This year, the fact that you've got to keep 3 forwards up and 3 defenders back has opened up teams to the counter-attack. We saw it in the first day out with Cork versus Kildare. It ended in a draw, but Cork counter-attacked brilliantly. The second day out against Galway, where we beat Galway at Parky Ring, a slow, steady, patient build up to the Cork attack, drawing out the Galway defenders, worked a treat. And today again, above an Armagh, normally when the gaps mightn't be there, in the days of having to try and, you know, break down teams with 13, maybe 14 defenders at a time, Melanie, it's very, very difficult to do that. But if you don't have big, tall forwards inside in the forward line that you can lump the ball into, you are caught out. I think the fact that the rules have come along, you're seeing Abigail Ring is enjoying a fantastic start to the season. Anya Terry O'Sullivan playing, a word about Anya Terry O'Sullivan, actually, she drove up, she was part of the team that played today and played very well. Bovan Armagh had to travel from the Beara, you know, from Beara, which is probably the longest anyone's ever had to travel to a match. But just to go back to the point about the forwards, Rachel Leahy, Emma Cleary, Gracie Murakufe, Neva Vaughan as well, they're all having impacts on the Cork League matches, because they're finding space that they wouldn't have necessarily got last year and the years leading up to it, because you're meeting, as I said, mass defences. I think a huge thing as well for Cork this year, Aoife Healy is playing really, really well. She's not going to be there for the full season. She's heading away. She'll be a big loss to Cork LGFA and to Cork Camogie. But herself and Abby O'Mahony in midfield have been very, very good. Half back line as well, Amy Corcoran, Sy McGoldrick and Rosie Corkery have really settled in there. And behind them, you know, the defenders have changed, the goalkeepers have changed in the full back line. But Cork are settled and they're playing really well and they're settling to the task. And I think the confidence, mainly, that's the big thing with the new rules. The fact that if you're pulled down, the Cork players have got very fast defenders. They've got the likes of Melissa Duggan, they've got the likes of Rachel Leahy, they've got the likes of, as I said, Emma Cleary, who will take off as soon as they get fouled. There's no more stop-start nature to the ladies' game. It's a much, much better spectacle, but the new rules are opening up, I think, more space for the Cork forwards, and they certainly are taking advantage of them, and I think they took advantage of them today as well on the counter-attack when they needed to get goals and vital scores. They were able to do so.
So it was kind of a positive all-around for the ladies, and then obviously up in Tullamore, a great win for John Cleary's side. What was your kind of overall thought to that game?
Yeah, again, watching this one again, you're looking at it, and the conditions obviously played a role in it. Unfortunately for Offaly, look, Offaly are going through a transition right now. They don't have their strongest team out. It was their third consecutive loss. But from a Cork point of view, to win 3-15 to 19 points was a fantastic result to come out of it. It keeps, much like the ladies' senior team, it keeps the momentum going. It's 3 wins out of 3 for John Cleary. You know, they're up there now, joint top with Meath, and what a game coming up this weekend when they face the joint leaders, Meath, at Park Erin. We'll talk about that in a minute. But today's game, I suppose, look, Colm O'Callaghan got 2 very well-taken goals. Mark Cronin got a goal just after half-time, and I think that Cork enjoyed a big cushion, a big lead. They were 12 points up at 1 point, and I think only when Rory McGuire got a black card, Offaly kind of came back into it towards the end. All right, they did outscore Cork in the second half, but I think overall, I suppose there's just so many positives for John Cleary at the start of the season. If you said to John Cleary at the start of the year, you'll win your first 3 league matches in Division 2, he'd have absolutely taken it. There are tougher tests to come. We must say that. You know, home to Meath, away to Derry, home to Kildare, and away to Tyrone. But the way Cork are playing and the confidence that they're showing, I mean, I suppose the big plus point for me today, Melanie, if there was one, the depth of the Cork squad right now. There was a few players missing. Brian Hurley didn't start today. Brian O'Driscoll didn't play. Ian McGuire came in. Dara Sheedy came in, a young player. And Cork didn't miss a beat. Now, they did lose their goalkeeper, Patrick Doyle, to an injury, so hopefully that's not too serious. But there's depth in the Cork senior panel this year. There's not an over-reliance on Stephen Sherlock or on Brian Hurley when he's playing for scores. You've got Colm O'Callaghan weighing in today with 2-1. He's having a great year. Mark Cronin, the big, I'd say the player that's most undervalued in that Cork senior team, Mark Cronin getting 1-4. And then a lovely spread of scores, Chris Oak-Jones, Darragh Sheedy, Sean McDonald, Sean Walsh. Everything Cork have been asked to do in their opening 3 matches, Melody, they've done. They've won all 3, but we've got a serious, serious test coming up this weekend. But how many times? I think it's well over 10 years since Cork have won the first 3.
Yeah,
2014, since they won 3 games on the trot in the National League. So we'll take it. And it's fully deserved. That's the other thing to say about John Cleary and the players. They haven't been just barely, I mean, the first day they might have been fortunate right at the end to get over Cavan, but they're playing well. They're building momentum. Meath will be a big challenge for them. And Meath came back, like, you know, withstood a huge, loud comeback last night at Croke Park and only won with the last kick of the game. So it's going to be a massive game next weekend. But Cork are in good health. The senior footballers are doing well. And I think the biggest positive for me is not necessarily the 3 wins, but the depth that John Cleary has. He's got lads from UCC as well. We've got the Sigerson Cup final. We mentioned Darragh Sheedy. There's Conor Daly. There's Jacob O'Driscoll. There's new options for him to try in the National League. We want to get out of Division 2, obviously, and we've given ourselves every chance of doing that. But excellent performances in those first 3 games.
Yeah, and you mentioned it there, the Cavan game. Like, I think Cork teams of old would have dropped ahead down 6-7 points, but this team, they kept, like, obviously now Cavan got a man sent off, but they still prevailed. Like, they got the win in the end. It mightn't have been the nicest, the prettiest, but they got there.
Yeah, that's a great point, and it's very true. You're right, in previous years there probably been that doubt in the players' minds that, oh god, here we go again. But I think a couple of things have changed. As I said, I think the fact that there was a huge crowd in for the hurling match straight after, I think there was an atmosphere building in that second half that the Cork footballers, unfortunately, they don't get a good following, helped them get over the line. But also this, I think the return of Stephen Sherlock He's just such a dangerous player outside that two-point arc. And not alone when he kicks those two-pointers from distances, you'd have seen him doing it for St. Finbar's in the club championship. He can do it for Cork as well. He's attracting a lot of attention and opening up space for the likes of Mark Cronin, likes of Chris Oak-Jones, likes of Brian Hurley to flourish. And if you've got somebody like Sherlock who's going to take careful watching, it is opening doors for Cork. As well as that, we've mentioned competition for places, we've mentioned the strength of the panel. Bar today, I know there was four changes for the team that was named, but long term injuries, we've avoided them, and at different times John Cleary hasn't had a full deck to pick from, but this year in the National League, having that extra bit, those extra options, I suppose, Melanie, off the bench, that can win a game for you and change a game. We may not have had that in previous years, but at senior level, no, we certainly do. And I think the confidence is the other thing with the Cork footballers. They play with a bit of a swagger there in that first half today. And why not? I mean, I know Offaly are struggling, but you've still got to go and you've still got to get the job done. And there's plenty of years gone by we would have struggled and to get over the line against Offaly. We came up against an opponent today, you know, built up a very, very good first half lead, let them back into it towards the end, but the game was won. And if you score 3 goals away from home and if you keep the momentum going, I think John Cleary will be very, very happy with that. But there are 4 big tests to come: Meath, Derry, Kildare and Tyrone. But we're in the best possible shape to take on those challenges. And I'd be quietly confident that Cork, I think, heading into those last couple of matches, if they're in the mix for promotion, I think if they can keep everyone fit, if they can keep the momentum going, they have the realistic chance of getting out of Division 2, which would be a huge... Look what it's done for the Cork ladies, Melanie, just to go back to them. Getting back up to Division 1, the boost of getting out of Division 2 was very difficult lead to get out of. And they've got 2 wins and a draw on the board already, despite all the changes in the panel. So I think momentum for both teams that we've been speaking about is hugely important, and if they can keep that going, I think we'll have a positive end to both the men's and the women's senior teams league campaigns.
Well, fingers crossed. And obviously Meath at home, I think, is it next weekend or the weekend after? Like, you want as many people down, I think it's in Porky Ring, as possible. Yes. Like, the confidence that this team have is only going to be spurred on by a full house. Like,
and this is it. And the fact that it's on next Sunday in Parky Ring, you know, it's a tight ground. When it's full, there's a lovely buzz around it. I go back to that day we beat Donegal in the All-Ireland Football Championship a couple of years ago. That was absolutely electric. And the players fed off that, Melanie, you're dead right. And we talked about the end of the Cavan game the last day. There was a huge crowd in because the hurlers were playing immediately afterwards. But it helped the footballers. It helped them. And the crowd got behind them. And I think there's a real sense of optimism. Sometimes it's been a false dawn with Cork of getting out of Division 2 and doing well, you know, in the All-Ireland Championship and getting beyond the preliminary quarterfinals. But there's a difference about them this year in that things just are going their way. They're winning tight matches that they lost in the previous past. That Cavan game, for example, that you mentioned there as well. But I think the performance as well, to go up to Louth, to go up to Drogheda and beat Louth, considering how well Louth played last night against me, that's a good Louth team. They're the Leinster champions. To beat them by 5 points as well after that. How many times in the past have Cork put in a fantastic display only to lose in the media game afterwards? So I think there's a confidence. I think John Cleary is certainly more confident. He's well into the job now in terms of experience. The players know him. They know what's expected of them. And when you consider that neither Brian Hurley nor Brian O'Driscoll, 2 of his big mainstays in the last couple of years, were even in the panel for today's game, and Cork still kicked 3-15 in difficult conditions, that's hugely positive going into it. There's no love lost between Cork and Meath at the best of times. But to have the two of them top of the table going into a National League clash with both counties desperately, desperately need to get up to Division 1. It won't be a championship game, but it will be played at championship intensity. Like, with 4, was it, with 4 black cards or 2 or 3 black cards within the first minute last night? Like, so watch out for that in Parky Ring next Sunday, and hopefully we'll get a huge crowd under, because these players deserve it, not just because they won today, but the way they've been playing and the manner in which they're going around about their business. We had that that pre-season boost of beating Kerry down. I know it was pre-season tournament down in Kerry, but like, I see a momentum, I see a settled squad, I see a lot of players desperate to get onto that first 15 now, and there's huge competition for places. If you ask me what's the one thing difference between this time with the Cork seniors now and this time last year, it's the competition for places. There, nobody, I think, right now is certain of their first 15, let alone the first 20. And that's a good way to be heading into the halfway point of the league.
Definitely a great complaint to have. Ger, thanks a million for joining us, and hopefully only good things to be reporting next Sunday after that game against Meath. And after today's game, the big red benches, Ger McCarthy spoke to Cork senior manager Joe Carroll about his team's latest victory in the LGFA football division.
Now on the Big Red Bench, delighted to welcome the Cork LGFA senior manager following today's fantastic 2-8-1-9 victory over Armagh above in Cross McGlen. Joe Carroll joins us here on the line. Joe, congratulations. Fantastic win for you.
Thank you, Joe.
It looked very windy. The grass looked very long. It was a tough opponent, but you overcame all those things and got a victory. You must be delighted with your players' efforts.
Sure, huge, because it's been a big week, really, with a lot of them involved in college games on Thursday night in extremely bad weather. Had to turn up again today and travel all the way up the country to play our match. It was a fantastic second half in particular. The pitch was exceptionally good there, for the grass was a bit long. It was exceptionally good, but it was, the breeze was very, very strong on it. But we were a bit disappointed at halftime that we were 2-2 having played with it, and it wasn't looking great. And I think we showed great resolve in the second half to get a win out.
You certainly did show great resolve in the second half, and that was shown by two excellently worked goals. You could have had a few more, but Rachel O'Regan and Rachel Leahy coming up with those goals at the right times for you?
Yeah, sure. Look, I suppose Rachel O'Regan started the first game and she showed fairly well, and she had played in the last two games, and she went in today and she had a huge impact when she went in, and the Clea Halhan going in as well, a corner forward, had another huge impact as well. So, and Rachel Leahy's going, like, everybody knows how talented Rachel is, and I think that's been coming with a wide with her, and an absolutely fantastic score, two great balls, and maybe towards the end, Amy Cochran took the right decision in putting the ball over the bar when we had an overlap and probably would have set Rachel in again. But look, there are the things of it. We're still on the learning curve with a lot of things and a lot of mistakes in it and things like that. We're delighted with our application to try and get it right.
And today you mentioned just even the conditions, but up against an opponent that's never easy to beat, Joe, but also above in their home patch, the benefit for your younger players in playing such a tight, physical, tough game, even with the new rules, a huge benefit to them.
Yeah, massive altogether, like, and I think they're growing in confidence by the day. Look, we're not going to get carried away with ourselves or anything like that. We have Kerry and Watford to play next, and we could come forward with a bang, but like, the effort there for the inches and gaining confidence every single day is standing to them.
The fact that you've got those two big games coming up, if I told you at the start of the year before any ball was kicked that you'd have 7 points out of nine, I mean, you'd have accepted that and taken it when your first time back up in Division 1 in a while.
Oh, absolutely. I think nobody gave us probably a chance of gaining that. But look, since we came back in December, we have walked very away quite clean, very, very hard at things, and they're a very united group, even though the players that didn't play today are very united. We had them all up there with us and things today, and they were very united and absolutely a delighted squad coming out of Armagh. So we know we have a lot of hard work to do ahead, and I suppose our game at the start of the year was the target, staying in Division 1 of the league, and that would prepare us for the championship. And look, we're on course so far to do that, but still a lot of work to do.
Still a lot of work to do. One of the other pluses I've seen today, and I've seen in your first three games, Joe, midfield, Aoife Healy. I know she won't be around for the full year, but Aoife Healy and Abby O'Mahony have been patrolling that middle area and been very important for you.
Yeah, she played outstanding again today. Ironically, she was very sick this morning. There was a doubt whether we'd play her or not, but she said she chanted away and she fought through it, but she was absolutely excellent. She'll be tired and sore tomorrow right there, because she played UCC as well on Thursday night. And did the same as me to the field. A fantastic player, and she's going to be a huge, huge loss when she goes. But look, that's the way it goes. And, you know, we brought in a few more subs as well, and they did well. So, look, we're delighted.
The new rules were talked about a lot before a ball was kicked this year, Joe. It was going to be new ground for everybody. I think they've benefited you in that they've opened up space for your forwards that you're able to exploit. Like, see, Katie Quirk is creating a lot of damage when she gets that extra space when it's three back and three forward. Has that been your experience? Or are you still learning?
Yeah, we're probably still learning a small bit on the new rules. Like, and I think the referees are learning too, because what we are seeing and reading in the rules and some of them are applying are not exactly the same thing yet. You know, there was one given against us there today for a breach. It was only totally accidental. It was just the half a letter. We couldn't understand why it was given. But anyway, look, I think it is helping us up a bit, all right, especially towards the latter in the games, because we have a lot of young players and a lot of them have a lot of pace. And I suppose you come towards the latter end of it, things are starting to open up when the matches are a bit tight and it's easier to get the scores, you know. And I think maybe that was an area we struggled in last year, because there was more than a left behind the ball. So it suits us a bit, and as the year goes on and the ground gets drier, I think it might even suit us even more.
Be league games coming up, much like the men's team with John Cleary. You're at the top end of the table, so momentum behind you, heading down to Kerry, always a tough battle. Cliche, I know as it is, Joe, but it's always a tough battle with Kerry. But I suppose you're in good health and you're in good stead. And look, this is another test, and again, a hugely important one for the younger players.
Sure, 2 years ago, they won the All-Ireland, and last year, they were in the All-Ireland semi-final. By Dublin in the final, but like they had won the league impressively, looked to be the team to beat, and they still will be the one of the teams to beat this year. Like they are in a different curve altogether to what we are on. We are only just at the bottom of the ladder. Chinese, they have been up there. So, but look, it's going to be a nice test for us. We're under no undue major pressure going back there, so we'll be doing our best to try and maybe get some kind of a result out of it.
And just before I let you go, you mentioned there all these, a lot of the panel this year, more than ever, I think, are in college, in third level education. They're also, most of them, involved in third level camogie and ladies football. It's a very, very busy schedule in February heading into March, and you know that better than anybody from being involved with UCC. How do you manage the player load in the coming weeks? Because it's going to get quite hectic.
Yeah, look, I suppose from a UCC point of view, from the Cork point of view, kind of easy enough to manage it because I know what they're doing, and with the GPS, and we've got a good background team are closely monitoring that and making sure that I don't overdo it with any group or things like that. But it is huge for them. Like, you know, if he needs her week in jails last Sunday, she was playing in the Ashburn Cup final. Midweek she played on Thursday with UCC, for example, and then herself and Leah Halland both games, and then Tuesday again today. That's professional sport, like, and then you must remember that all these girls are in college. We have 21 players, I think, on our panel that are in college at the moment. So that'll tell you how young our squad is. But, you know, they never complain. They just get on with it. And we be very, very careful that we don't overload them and that we have been playing in the rest of this year and down the road for the next few years for Cork.
Excellent stuff. Final scores, we said, from St. Oliver Plunkett Park in Crossmaglen earlier today at the Lidl Division 1 Ladies Football League. Armagh 1-9, Cork 2-8, Cork unbeaten heading into next weekend's clash with Kerry, up at the top of the Lidl National Football League Division 1. Well done to the players, and well done to you, Joe Carroll. Congrats and thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you, manager.
And Cork Camogie were also on the road on Saturday as they headed down to Azuri Walsh Park to take on Waterford in the defence of their Central National League Camogie League Division 1A title. Unfortunately, it was a losing start for Joe Manley's side. Waterford 1-12, Cork 9 points. And the Echo's Rory Noonan has been chatting to Joe Manley and Lippy Coppinger.
George, you're obviously a massive change. Four players only from our Ireland side, yeah. But you can be pleased with not the aspects of Cork's play today.
Yeah, I thought we did. We started slowly, but I mean, Waterford had a very settled team out, and we're delighted. Performance of a lot of young girls that came on, and look, it's a rude awakening. Waterford, one of the best teams around. You can see physicality, they were probably the strongest early on. But I think we dominated a lot of the match there in the second half, and a bit unlucky, we created more goal chances than them. They never got in behind our backs, and we tore three chances, and look, another day we'd have taken them. But I think the scoreline didn't flatter him by no means.
You know, obviously looking at the match yourself, the goal probably was a killing score, really. There was a bit of love to it, but yeah. It was probably the killer score in the end, really.
Oh, sure. After that, look, he came against the player. It was a loopy shot. She was covered, and the Amy said it just looped in up over. 20 minute shot, just miss hit, and a bit of deflection. But that happens. We were in at the right side of them as well, but that was the difference, really. We had probably a couple of goal chances now, because I felt if we got to 2 or 3 points, we'd have rattled. And we said at half time, just keep the scoreboard ticking over, which we didn't do in the first half, I suppose. But look,
the wind was a factor, no doubt.
But we had a lot of balls up short, and then, look, that's just lack of practice. We haven't too much done. We haven't played a quality team like this since the All-Ireland final last year, let's be honest. We did a bit of training, and some of the girls have to get used to it. We're delighted. Look, we gave, normally we brought on 5 or 6 subs, and and they all did well. And even the girls that started did well, but it's probably a different pace. You know, the hurling, you don't get the ball as easy, and that'll come to them. We won't make too many changes for next week. I wouldn't think we'll give another few girls a game that probably came on and took them all a chance, because we need to find a few players for the championship.
And obviously, there was sitting in the bench there for the game, were a lot of players injured that you were missing today. So really, you know, there's an awful lot of players that can come back as what you have.
Yeah, we have we'll have the majority back in, I suppose, to be April or May. I said a few injuries down know we're going to mind them. Like, I don't want to put players over the step. The conditions with the pitch is soft, and we've a couple back in training already. Two Galans are back training this week, and Laura Hill's back training next week. Serge McCarthy's back in training. We're just giving him like time to heal. Like, I mean, they're after savage hours playing for Cork Camogie. Do you know what I mean? Why would you put them under pressure? Like, I mean, cold day like this, or get a bad injury again? And look, we're building up. We're not fully fit. And John Paul Evers doing great work on there. And look, we are really aiming for the quarter. I suppose whatever stage of the Ireland's championship, that's what we're aiming for.
Was it a little bit strange, maybe you, for times when you looked out around the pitch and you didn't see an awful lot of familiar faces that you would have seen, not alone as your time as manager, but before that when you were involved in the match, and suddenly you're looking around and you don't see familiar faces out there?
Yeah, it's a big change. But I mean, the senior girls are brilliant, with the younger gang, they're, do you know what I mean? The UCC girls are in great confidence. Look, you see Libby Thompson, MBA Murphy, give her credit. Emmy Lee was very good today, I thought. Emma Murphy, give her credit again. She's maturing now. She's one of the senior players now. And look, they're all standing up. We brought on a couple of young players there, all the criminal. McCall was just sort of minor. She was doing her pre's on the week. Come on there on her debut and got a point. Like, you can see she has something. They all have something. Keane O'Callaghan has something. Hayley Ryan has something. But it's tough going there today for Flowers. You know what I mean? The ball was dead. And, do you know what I mean? We're delighted with them. We're delivered the effort. Look, the result, of course, we want to win every match. But I think, look, we took a lot from today.
And obviously, Antrim next week at home. And a game that you would hope for me.
I don't know. Like, I mean, the other games, you always get tough. I remember we played down the league game there a couple of years ago and they nearly rattled us. You just don't know. They'll come down hungry. Look, we just have to improve a small bit. I think from this week, we have to probably create more chances up front. And look, that'll come for the girls, you know what I mean? Because, like, Waterford are one of the top four teams, as I said. Yeah. They're in the semi finals every year now. Like, they're just, Waterford are a very, very good team. And, like, they had the majority of their team up today, but we hadn't. And, like, I mean, it's up to their girls to get their girls back. But what I'm looking for is competition for place, and I think we're getting it now. Do you know what I mean? So we're delighted.
I suppose always Cork never like losing, but really with that new look team there, you couldn't be very happy with a lot of the performance out there today.
Yeah, look, I suppose like that first game of the year, a lot of girls, I suppose, new in, not new to the Cork scene, but I suppose new to the senior panel. So yeah, look, I guess wasn't the result we were hoping for today, but a lot to build on, a lot of positives, and plenty to work on again.
Must have been kind of strange for you at fullback looking out around the pitch there and not seeing a lot of knitting faces you'd have seen for a long, long time, and just, you know, good today.
Yeah, look, you know, there's big shoes to fill from a lot of girls that are gone. But yeah, I don't know. I suppose, look, unfortunately, time has to go on as well. We're very grateful for all the service they gave, and, you know, they've definitely left the jersey in a better place, all of them. So yeah, we miss them, but, you know, it's an opportunity for new girls, which is great. You know, I suppose that's something massive about, like, the, I suppose, history we have in Cork Camogie. You know, there's always someone else that's going to step up, and the girls they're stepping up already, and, you know, it's just more to build on now the next day.
As I said, there's a lot of positives from the fact, you know, as you said, a lot of players did step up today. It was their first day out against what is, you know, coming to Waterford is never an easy task, and they showed again today that they are a very good side.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think you always know what you're going to get against Waterford. We knew coming up here was going to be an absolute battle. And yeah, look, plenty to work on. You know, I suppose first day out, you're never going to be the finished article, and we, you know, definitely weren't. But yeah, look, they're a very good side, and, you know, I suppose we've Antrim now next week, so we'll just have to review this week, take what was good out of it, and, you know, just work on the little bits and kind of get ourselves, you know, motoring the right direction where we want to go.
And that's all we have time for in the first half, but don't go anywhere, because coming up next we have Ashburn Cup reaction and obviously Ireland's big game against Italy last night.
Now, UCC won their first Electric Ireland Ashburn Cup title in 23 years by overcoming UCD at the DCU Sports Ground recently. And I'm delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by the UCC Camogie's manager, Michelle Gould, and the team's captain, Mavering. Ladies, you are very, very welcome to the Big Red Bench, and congratulations on your success.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, delighted that you have us there. Thank you.
Not at all. Great to talk to you. Michelle, let's start with the fact it has been a long time since UCC got their hands on this famous trophy. I know how important sport is in the university. I know how important Camogie is in the university over how many years. But it must be a relief as much as a delight to finally get your hands on that famous trophy.
It is. It's a massive relief, to be fair. 23 years this year now, and thank God the famine has ended, really, for the Ashburn Cup, and the girls are very deserving winners of that. Yeah.
Michelle, you it's been a long road. It didn't happen just overnight. You've been involved for a long time, but this year the management team and the people behind the scenes that have helped the players and prepare them so diligently played a vital role.
They did, to be fair. Like, it's my first year as manager of the Ashburn team. I suppose I was behind the scenes with the Purcell team for the last number of years as well. So we brought in Ken Bullman, Dave Ellis. They were the two main head coaches, to be fair to them. And look, there was no stone unturned really for the girls behind the scenes. There was a lot of people involved to get this over the line, yeah.
There certainly was. Maeve, you're the captain of the team, but Avril Cashman deserves a shout out as well. She has donned the captain's armband in your absence when you're involved with UCC throughout the year. But talk to me about the panel, because it's one thing in a club, and I know with Habulog and I know with Cork, when you're on a panel, you know everyone they're from around the area, or if they're, you would have come across them. But when it's a college team, you have players from all over the place and everybody's desperate to get on the team. You did not win this Ashburn Cup without having a bond within that panel. How was that forged and how well did things go for you since the start of the season?
Yes, so just a shout out to Avril Cashman as well, vice captain on the team, and she really stood up as well on the pitch, like final year player, so fourth year player. So she really led the team and, you know, kind of gave great leadership to them on the pitch. But yeah, so we have such a great panel of girls. Every year, you know, there's kind of changes to the panel and there's new people coming in. But this year we really did have such a great group of players, and they're such a talented group of girls, and they really worked so hard, you know, to try and get this over the line. And, you know, finally we can say that we have an Ashburn title in UCC.
Yes, you can. And you certainly celebrated as well, as social media has shown me in the immediate aftermath and a few days afterwards, which is to be expected. It's a part of it. Is that the thing, Maeve, you know, as an intercounty player and as a club player, and you've been through this, you know, you know what it's like at intercounty with Cork, but in college and in third level, you know, it's different. It's taken as seriously and you prepare as diligently, but there's a lovely, I suppose, camaraderie still about third level camogie and third level sport. And I would imagine that's still the case for you. You've been involved with a few years.
Yeah, so this is my fourth year now with UCC. But yeah, it is, the standard of Ashburn camogie is really, you know, it's very similar to a senior inter-county setup. So the standard is very high, but at the same time, you know, college camogie is about, you know, kind of playing with friends and, you know, having a good bit of fun and enjoyment with it while still taking it seriously. But yeah, we did celebrate the win and we made the most of it.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that because, you know, there's too many things to cover. And I know you'd really like to talk about it on the radio, but yeah, it's great. You deserve to, those celebrations. Michelle, since 2016, between 2016 and 2020, UCC lost the Ashburn Cup final to the University of Limerick each of those years. In between 23 and 25, you lost to TU Dublin and University of Limerick again. This year's semi-final, you got over UL in UL. How sweet was that without being smart?
Oh, you have no idea. That was so sweet. It was, to be fair. I do think the game before it against Galway was the game, though, that I felt kind of gelled the girls more. They really bonded as a team. And to beat Galway down in the Mardaic in our own backyard was kind of the starting point to UL. And we just felt, right, one of the big guns are gone now. We knew it was a mammoth task going up to UL. And it was just the feeling was there. The feeling of belief was there, you know, from management to every person on that panel, that we could take UL. And it just shows, as Maeve said earlier, the standard of camogie in college and UL are just, look, they're so good. So to beat them up in UL was just, it was like the final, to be honest. It was just so much relief on the pitch that night. It was elation. It was celebrations. So we let them have their celebrations for that one night. And then it was kind of like back to business then again the following day, you know, to just, because look, if you're beating the likes of Galway and UL, you don't want to leave an Ashburn title behind on the day of a final, you know.
Yeah, that's very well put, Michelle. And I would come back to you now again, because it's, you know, at inter-county level, you'll always have a bit of a gap in the championship. You know, it's a couple of weeks again, maybe from a semi-final to a final. But with third level, all of these players are doing other things. They're in inter-county, they're in pre-season, they're doing other things. They're involved in college, obviously, which is hugely important as well. How difficult is it just in terms of preparation? Because when you get them out onto the pitch, that's the easy part. You can do the training. But there's so much going on around these girls' lives and these players' lives. Like, how difficult, not difficult, but I suppose you've got a bit of work and college life balance involved as well.
There is, to be fair, look, I have to mention Ger Manley. Look, he was very good to us as well, and Jerry Wallace. They're the managers of the Cork teams. And to be fair, other managers, Joe Carroll as well with the football. Look, we had conversations with them. As you said, it's a short window and it's really important to have girls there. But we were very aware of, I suppose, overload and the amount of activities the girls were doing on top of college and on top of exams and everything else. So look, I feel we managed it well looking back and it looks like we did, but it's important to manage the players and manage injuries, and rest is just as important as anything else as well. And look, all the girls, to be fair, are competing at a standard that, you know, it's probably easy enough to manage that in between. It's not like you're training for the whole year. It's a short gap, short window, and I suppose to manage the time well is the main thing.
And May, from the players' point of view, getting over you well with their record down through the years, not just against yourselves, but their success at Ashbourne Cup level before you even got to play UCD. How important, like, was that the trigger? I know Michelle has mentioned the Galway game just before, but coming out of UL with a victory like that and heading into the final, was it easy to, I suppose, come back down to earth and prepare for it? Or was that the boost and the tests that you needed going into the final?
Look, over the years, UCC always have such big rivalry at UL. UL are really great college, sporting college, and they have great camogie players, and it's always a tough battle when we come up against them. So, you know, especially being losing out the Ashbourne final last year to UL, we always kind of, it was in the back of our mind, you know, that we're going to be facing UL again sometime this year. And meeting them in the semi-final, it was definitely, we knew it would be a big challenge, but our girls honestly did so well in the first half. We really just put the foot down and we drove it on and kept, you know, building the gap between the two teams. And like, it was such a good performance on UCC, and it was really, like, in a sense, like a final of its own. So winning that really was a great boost going into the final then against UCD. It gave us great confidence and really think it kind of drove the girls on.
Yeah, and just finally, Maeve, what does it mean? Because you've been through the ringer with this in your time in college, and I know how much and how determined a player you are from watching you on the pitch. But this is obviously a fantastic moment in your career.
Yeah, look, there's something special about Ashbourne Cup. I think that just college camogie in general, I've lost out on Ashbourne title in first, second and third year. So really to get over the line in the last year and to, you know, 23 years is such a long wait as well with the standard of camogie that we have in Cork. So it's, you know, I'm really going to cherish this win, I'd say, with me for the rest of my life. And yeah, it's honestly such an honour as well to captain the team and just to win with the group of girls that's there as well. Like, really, these will be great memories that we'll have, you know, years to come.
They certainly will. Final word to you, Michelle. What an achievement, and the standard is set now for next year and beyond.
The standard is set, yeah, I suppose. Ashburns don't come that easy, as we well know. I am going to just take this quick opportunity to give a shout out to the Purcell team as well, because, look, they did win the All-Ireland League as well, and to John and Mark there. Like, we all work so well together as a team, and it does bode well, I suppose, for next year's crop of players coming in. Because, look, as you know, with college, you lose players every year. Like this year, for example, we did lose Lorna Ryan, who would have been probably a starter on the team. She just got sick at the start of the year, Andrew Erasmus and loads of other different things. So this team really gelled, and look, they gave a superb performance, and look, we're just thrilled with the win now, to be fair to them.
And so ye should be. So to manager Michelle Gould and to captain Maeve Ring and to everybody involved in UCC Camogie winning the Electric Ireland Ashbourne Cup for the first time in 23 years, from everybody here on Cork Shred FM's Big Red Bench, well done. We're delighted for you, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us today.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
And plenty of camogie action on the cards as the Cork Miners bounce back from their defeat to Tipperary in the Electric Ireland Minor Camogie Championship group stage by overcoming Limerick 2-8 to 11 points at Castle Road earlier today. Cork's Leah Mellowan scored both of the winner's goals, and our very own Ger McCarthy spoke to delighted winning manager Mossy O'Sullivan shortly after the final whistle.
Cork 2-8, Limerick 11 points. The final score from today's Electric Ireland Minor Camogie Championship group match at Castle Road. A fantastic result and a bounce back win for the Rebels. We're delighted to be joined on the line by the Cork Minor Camogie manager, Mossy O'Sullivan. Mossy, congratulations.
Thanks very much, Ger. Thanks very much.
A big win for you insofar as you're bouncing back from a loss to Tip, but a bigger win, I suppose, for the players considering difficult weather conditions, overcoming an always tough opponent and getting that win on the board.
Yes, look, they were actually dogged. It was nip and tuck, and we were actually losing at one stage. It could have went the other way as well. It was one of those games, you know. They actually had a penalty at the end. Probably could have drawn the game. We came out winning by 4 points, so we're absolutely thrilled.
Talk to me about Aoife Collins, because as you mentioned, we're going to come to that penalty save and just how important it might be in the grander scheme of things, but a real encouraging boost for her as well.
Oh, fantastic. Aoife stood up, in fairness to her. She actually stopped the ball, then she rose the ball, and then she ran out with the ball. It was just, you know, one of those moments. That's what you want from your keeper, and in fairness to her, she stood tall today. So well done to her.
Goals win matches, and they win tight matches, as you know, no doubt know. And you had a player today on top form, as she has been throughout the Munster Championship and All-Ireland Championship for you as well, getting both of those goals.
Yeah, Leah Melua is another young talent that will be there around for, I hope, a long time. Super, super player.
A team effort, as you talk about an awful lot in the panel that you put together to get over the line today against Limerick. But I just suppose from the mental side of it, like, how disappointed were the players after that Tipperary loss and picking them up, Mossy? How difficult was that?
Yeah, look, I suppose, the week before we have to win Munster, I suppose, sport can be, you'll be up one day and down the next. I think we probably didn't perform against Tipperary, and you know, when we sat down the Tuesday night afterwards, look, everyone acknowledged that we just didn't perform on the night, on the day, and we were probably disappointed, and they really wanted to show today what they were made of, especially at home. And in fairness to them, they stood up tall today, so I was delighted for them.
A lot of these players, you know, they're playing in a round robin format. You had, you know, the Munster Championship under your belts and played very, very well in that. But you're going to have to keep, I suppose, a level of consistency now. You've got Galway, Dublin and Kilkenny to come over the coming weeks. But when you get a victory like this, it just reinstills, I suppose, that confidence back into the players and their games now that you're looking forward to. Like, had you come out with two consecutive defeats, Mossy, I suppose, as a manager, you know, it'd be a lot harder to pick the players up. But you've got a bit of momentum behind you now.
Yeah, look, we have a bit of momentum now, and we've got other players coming back as well to us that are putting their hands up in training, you know, and we're keeping the vibe going well, that they're all challenging for places, which is the most important thing. And I think there's a good vibe in the group, and you know, they're probably down the last day, but you know, they rose themselves up. You know what I mean? They're a group that can raise themselves up, which is very important, you know.
Because you've got so many players from so many different clubs, like Sarsfield, Ballinhassig, Aroga, Habulug, Ballincollig, and Newtown Chandrum, just to name but a few, forging that bond within the squad takes a lot of work by you and your management team away from match day. How happy are you with how things are progressing so far?
Look, to be fair, they actually do it themselves. You know, they organise things together, right? Which is great, and it's lovely to see. They organise the sauna sessions together. They're trying to, you know, after, you know, we train on a Sunday morning, and then they'd all go away as a group. Even today, we went to Blackrock Hurling Club afterwards, and we had pizzas afterwards. They organised it. Do you know what I mean? And that shows the unity in the group. And they're driving it, which is what we want. You need players to drive it as well, just as much as management, but players more so.
You had there was disappointment for Germany in the seniors this weekend against Waterford, obviously, but there's a boost with UCC winning the Ashbourne Cup. Do things like that, it raises the profile of Camogie, you know, the college doing well and winning it, and I suppose it does give players at intercounty level as well as club level, it gives them a boost when they see success for Cork at third level, even at third level, whatever about intercounty.
Oh, it's fantastic. Look, I thought it was fantastic. Well done to Michelle Gould. She's a personal friend of mine, so I was delighted for Michelle and all our team. I know most of the lads. I know most of the girls as well, which was great. And it does, every time there's a win, you know, you bounce. Everyone gets a small bounce out of it. And the quality of Camogie is growing all the time, which is a plus as well. You know, it's tougher challenges. There's, you know, they're really stepping up, which I, and that's what you want.
That's exactly what you want. And you got what you wanted today, Mossy, with a 2-8-11 point victory win over Limerick in the group stage of the Electric Ireland Minor Camogie All-Ireland Championship. Fantastic result. Well done. And we'll head into that Galway game with a lot of confidence. Thanks very, very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Red Bench.
No bother.
And that ties up our GAA reporting for today, and we'll turn our attention to football. And Rory has been chatting with Seanie Maguire earlier in the week about turning down Champions League football with Shamrock Rovers in order to stay with City.
Sean, pre-season is over. We are a couple of days out from the first game of the season. How has pre-season been?
It's been really good. Obviously, a few different circumstances. Obviously, new manager coming in. But since he's come in, he's brought something different. Intensity's gone through the roof. I think, in particular, if anyone's come to the four games we've had in pre-season, you can see that the way he wants to play. Everyone's fit and healthy at the moment, and yeah, look, I know pre-season games and results don't really matter at the end of the day, but yeah, it's nice to have four games, three wins and a draw, but everyone is feeling really, really good at the moment, and you know, we can't wait for it now.
It's not easy for a new manager to come in and stamp his authority, especially because I suppose the limited time he's had with you so far, but yeah, how does he want you to play, and I suppose how have you been reacting to that?
We've been reacting really well. I think a lot of the managers' ways have been, you know, in the analysis room, the way we want to press, the way we want to be with the ball. But the intensity and training, you know, it's kind of short and sharp. I think we've really felt the benefits of it. Just mentioned that before, we're feeling really fit. But in a short space of time he's been here, he's brought in a lot. And I really, really like what I see at the moment, and you know, it'll continue to get better and better as the more time he's around.
He had very high words to say of you when I spoke to him in his first day. What are the conversations been with him like?
Really good. Yeah, I think the first couple of days he came in, he basically said, you're not going anywhere, and you're the main, I suppose, focal point at the club, and it's you know, really flattering to hear that from obviously a man of what he's had in his career, and obviously he's obviously managed the top level in Scotland, two different clubs. He's played up to an age of 38, 39, so he knows ball, and look, I think he's has a good core of players here now. You know, we've got the mixture of experience, younger lads, and you know, the likes of obviously Charlie Lyons, Derek Crowley are in their mid-20s, so it's, we're really confident about this year. I suppose we have to, and I think we need to really bounce back up straight away.
Well, he obviously said you were going nowhere. There was a lot of talk about you in the press. There was a lot of speculation with Shamrock Rovers. How far did those discussions go? Did you meet with Shamrock Rovers? But they never got.
Yeah, look, I think straight away after the cup final, I think they made it clear that they wanted to bring me in, and not just Shamrock Rovers. You know, it was obviously Bowes, Derry. There was a few others. But at the end of the day, I came back to Cork to see my career out of Cork, and I suppose I left Cork City back in 2017 when Cork City were at the pinnacle, winning trophies, winning leagues, cups, playing in Europe, qualified the qualification stages, and I suppose when I come to the end of my career, I want to leave Cork City at that stage as well, yeah, fighting for league titles, playing back in Europe, and hopefully that's not for another 6, 7, 8 years time, but that's what I really want to do, and could have been the easy way out and just leave him and go and playing for Shamrock Rovers, but I wanted to stay and fight for this club to get back to where it needs to be, really.
Were you worried about what the fans would have said about you if you'd left?
Look, people are going to be entitled to their opinions. Look, I feel like I'm the best striker in the country, let alone the first division. But I really want to bounce back up. Look, it's a marker where myself and Keats have to put ourselves of high expectations of bringing a lot of goals this year to help the team, and obviously for the likes of Fiacre, Charlie Lyons and Roy Feely to keep the goals out the other end. But that's what I'll be hoping to do. But is it going to be easy this year in terms of what it's been in the first division in the last few years Cork City have been in? Probably not, but do I feel we're more than comfortable, and what we've got in the team to bounce straight back, like, more than comfortable. We've got the, as you said, the two of the best strikers in League of Ireland, and then we've got the big boys at the back, and mixture with Darren, Greg Bulger, who's obviously got 40 years of League of Ireland experience in him, and then and you've got a couple others like Killian Murphy. He's looked really good in pre-season. You'd think he's been our standout player out of everyone in terms of training and games. So be a really exciting breakout season for him as well.
Your loyalty to Cork City is admirable, but like when you hear Shamrock Rovers are interested, double winners, they're playing in Europe, you must have had a serious think about it and said, I could be playing in Europe next year.
Yeah, look, it was like, you know, like it's gotta call a spade a spade. Like when the champions put a bid in for you, they've got a lot of interest, your head can kind of turn, but at the end of the day, I did really want to stay, and you know, when Cork obviously offered the new contract to me, I think, look, it was sort of thing of looking at it, look, my career was always going to plan out with Cork City, and putting on another jersey in the League of Ireland jersey on my shoulders, it wouldn't feel right. And as I said, I want this club to be back at the top end of the League of Ireland fighting for titles. That might not be next year, might not be the year after, but that's where I want the club to be at when I do retire, and hopefully, as I said, there are 7-8 years' time.
And as you said, pressure, you said the word pressure a couple of times, there is pressure on you to go straight back up the first time of asking this year.
Yeah, there has to be. We've got the best squad in the league, got the best team in the league, and if everyone's at it every week, it should be comfortable. Like, there's no point beating around the bush. We're expected to win this league, and we should be winning this league, but will it be as easy as it was 2 years ago or 4 years ago? It probably won't be, because teams are getting better, younger players coming through, the likes of Bray, they're always on the edges of the playoffs, Cove, Kerry. You know, it'll be tough, but if we're at it every single week, it'll be more than comfortable, yeah.
And look, first game Friday, Treaty United at home, a huge crowd would help, and getting those crowds back in for the rest of the games of the season is going
big
to be
time,
a huge
yeah. Up. Like, you know, you look at the game against Pats last season, the semi-final, the cup, that's what Turner's Cross should be like every week. It might not be like that every week in the First Division, but if they can bring 2,000-3,000, it makes a huge difference. But at the end of the day, we need to give the crowd something to cheer about as well, and hopefully that'll start this Friday on the front foot and start off the league campaign with 3 points.
Thanks, pal. Best luck for you.
Cheers, Rory.
And finally, for now, we'll hear from Andy Farrell after Ireland's 20-13 win against Italy. Obviously, it wasn't the prettiest of wins, but we'll hear what he has to say.
Andy, is your overriding emotion relief that you got the win, or frustration?
No. The frustration, no, all relief.
No, the bonus point at the end.
Oh, well, I mean, I thought Jack played outstandingly well when he came on, you know, so actually gutted for him, because, you know, he wouldn't normally do that. I mean, there's a few things to check there as far as offside and jumping up and down in his eye line for the kick, but still it was a bit of a shank, but that wouldn't be the overriding thought of what I take from Jack's game. I thought he was outstanding when he came on.
Andy, what do you need to do now for Twickenham coming up next week?
Well, we need to celebrate Edwin's first cap, that's for sure, because it's one hell of a story, and I'm so pleased that we're able to get a win and show some fight to be able to get a win for him, because his story is a phenomenal one, so we'll celebrate that with him. And you know, everyone's talking up England, and rightly so, because the form is good, and playing some good rugby. We know the run that they're on. Obviously, they're playing as we speak now. But it's another fantastic experience for us. It's a big away game. We had one of those last week. We didn't turn up for that. We need to learn some lessons from it. But we've a big test coming up, and we need to get excited about that. And we are, because it's another experience that'll stand to us.
And after Scotland got the best of England yesterday, it should be a good game next Saturday. Now, that's all we have time for today on the Big Red Bench. So, Seville Marathon took place today, and there was three Cork. Runners in it, first off, was Aoife Cook, former Tokyo Olympian, who had a great time of 3 hours, 10 minutes and 16 seconds. James Brennan of Mount Hillary with 2:44.51, just getting in under the 2:45. And Ryan Creech with an amazing time of 2 hours, 9 minutes and 39 seconds. What an achievement, and well done to everyone involved. But unfortunately, that is all we have time for on the Big Red Bench. Up next is Mags Blackburn with Green on Red.